I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
Welcome, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network out here at the RNC. If you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram, you will be able to see the Republican National Convention behind me, a bit off my left shoulder here. Boy, it's been quite a weekend. I frankly sobbed when I found out on Saturday night that former President Trump had been shot. We are at a moment where the single most powerful voice promoting political violence has been the victim of political violence. And it seems that across the right, people who call out political violence as completely incompatible with democracy are now the problem. Well, I reject that. And as I've said many times on this show, the only way to save our democracy is through our democracy. We solve disputes in the United States through ballot boxes, not bullets, through words, not weapons. So, to be unequivocal, the assassination attempt on former President Trump is the most contemptible of acts, should never happen in our country or, frankly, anywhere else. And yet Donald Trump continues to be the single greatest threat to American civility and democratic values. We now also receiving breaking news that J.D. Vance is President Trump's vice presidential pick, a doubling down, if you will, on MAGA extremism from former President Trump. J.D. Vance literally wrote the book on it. If you haven't picked it up, it's Hillbilly Elegy. I don't really recommend it as reading. It's instructive. But I am extremely glad that in this incredible moment, I'm joined by a good friend and a community advocate, someone who's been organizing for her entire life. It's my pleasure and privilege to bring on Angela Lang, the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Thanks so much for being here, Angela. When we set this up a week ago, we certainly could not have predicted the moment that we're in.
Yeah, it was definitely under different circumstances and I think a completely different conversation. But either way, thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, as I think to the moment that we're in, I hearken back to sort of what are the brass tacks, the basics of democracy, right? And it's organizing in communities. So I can think of no one better to help us navigate the moment that we find ourselves in other than you, Angela. For those that aren't familiar with your organization, Black Leaders Organizing Communities, share a little bit about what it's all about.
Yeah, so BLOC started in November of 2017, in a lot of ways a response to the 2016 election. Part of it was Trump's election, but a huge part of it was kind of the narratives and how people were talking about Black voters and understanding that Black voters didn't show up because they didn't particularly feel compelled to. And so if we didn't really understand the reasons why Black voters didn't feel that they were a part of that democracy, that cycle, we were doomed to repeat it. And so I got folks in a room and we talked about how do we do things differently to make sure that specifically turnout in our community doesn't feel disengaged the way they did in 2016. And we are a year-round civic engagement organization. So when organizations and campaigns kind of pop in a couple weeks or a couple months before an election, we have a year-round ground operation, a team of what we call ambassadors that are knocking on doors, being resources to the community and building those relationships, talking about issues. Wisconsin has elections, seems like every 5 minutes. So there's really not a lot of time to go away and then to rebuild that infrastructure. So it's really important for us to maintain that infrastructure year round.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm so thankful for what you and your organization do in and around Milwaukee and southeastern Wisconsin, because it occurs to me, again, zooming back out, that the antidote to political violence, the desperation that leads someone to try to kill a political leader, is often the kind of extremist rhetoric that runs contrary to or that preys upon people feeling disaffected or the lack of engagement. That when people do feel engaged, and I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, but when you feel engaged, when you feel like someone's hearing your voice, the odds of political violence go down. So how have you and your organization approached engaging with people and trying to build excitement, or at least the desire to engage with these political processes and these seeming never-ending election cycles that we've got here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said it was easy, right? There are folks, I think, that are very frustrated with our democracy and our political process right now. And so if folks just don't even feel reflected, we can't start to have these conversations in October. Right? We need to slowly win folks back. We talk about issues. And if people are like, I don't know, voting isn't for me, that's dysfunctional, it's on us to do that civic education. What are some things that you care about in your community? Oh, your issue is, say, student loan debt. Let's have a conversation about what President Biden has done in regards to student loan debt. So a lot of times it just takes being able to connect dots. There are so many flying, moving pieces in this election, some of which are policy related and some of which are not. And sometimes it's hard to keep up with the nuances. And so we are making sure that we're constantly training our team. This week, our team is not going to be out in the field for obvious reasons, for safety concerns. But that doesn't mean our team is off. They're working from home. They're doing research. They're reaching out to people. And so we make sure to give them educational and research assignments, such as Research Project 2025 and how you want to be able to talk about it out in the field as well. And so for us, it all comes down to education and being able to be that resource. And sometimes that means having multiple conversations in order to persuade someone over the course of a year that, yes, I'm going to be voting and I do feel like my vote and my voice matters.
Yeah, I think you put your finger on it, that it's not one conversation, and that those that know, we have an obligation to try to continue to have that conversation. And part of that conversation is that we can hold two competing or difficult thoughts in our heads at the same time. And in this moment, the clear condemnation of political violence, while condemning perhaps one of our nation's greatest proponents of political violence, a man who's now been had a Supreme Court declare that presidents are kings, who's called the January 6th insurrectionists patriots. I mean, and the list goes on. If we're talking about the documents case, which of course I'll get to on the show today, he basically made our nation's most sensitive secrets available to any entrant at Mar-a-Lago and likely resulted in the death of U.S. agents and intelligence officials abroad. So when we think about holding these two competing thoughts in our heads at the same time, the condemnation of political violence and the condemnation of Donald Trump for promoting political violence, just as a human, Angela, what was your reaction when you heard that someone had tried to kill former President Trump?
Yeah, first I want to say I actually have written on here, one of the things I wanted to mention is that multiple things can be true, right? We can say that political violence is wrong. One of the reasons, as folks may tell, I'm in a hotel. I'm not even in the state. I have been raising concerns about political violence, and it goes to show that here we are. It was a very surreal feeling on Saturday. I took a nap. I woke up. And I saw some messages and I didn't understand. I'm going through my notifications on my phone and then I turned on the news and to see the words, assassination attempts, Trump shot. It was very surreal. It was anxiety inducing. Would there be potential threats of retaliation of folks upset that even happened? what does that look like? And as you know, again, the RNC has just now started and kind of has this dark cloud and that backdrop hanging over it. So I was very concerned, specifically because it was just days before already a tense RNC. And so what does this look like? I will be paying attention to what is the tone? What is Trump's speech gonna look like? He said he had to change his speech for, you know, obvious reasons. But right now we've seen both Trump and President Biden calling for unity. Is that going to continue, or are we going to kind of start to backslide and see that same kind of Trump rhetoric that we're so familiar with? And I think that's to be determined. And I think a lot, I'm holding my breath all week to make sure that the city that I love and hold so dear and its residents are able to be safe, knowing what just happened just a few days ago in this unprecedented moment.
Yeah, just before we came on air, and I think we'll run some of the footage if we can, there were protesters that could be seen over my left shoulder, again, marching within the security perimeter towards the Fiserv. We, of course, are very familiar with the litigation going on with the coalition to march on the RNC 2024. So you have this confluence of factors that is, frankly, certainly unique in my lifetime. Again, it seems like we have been on this unending march towards escalating political violence, and yet here is a demonstration, literally, as well as a demonstration of people engaging their political voice to be heard, to object, and doing so peacefully. I echo your sentiments, Angela. Let's hope that this remains a peaceful RNC. And again, let's hope that all can universally condemn political violence and also call on the former president to frankly end his glamorization of political violence and the excuse making that we've seen. Can you hang for another segment, Angela? I'd love to have you.
Yeah,
great.
Absolutely. Would love
my
to.
My special guest this half hour, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities, Angela Lang. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in just a moment. We are everyday people. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined this half hour by my special friend and special commentator. So important to have you. Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Again, thank you, Angela, for making time. I wanted to focus on one of the sort of a tagline is reductivist, but one of the key questions that Bloc poses and asked community members was, what would it look like for your community to thrive? And it seems to me, again, in this incredibly historic moment, that if all of our communities were thriving, again, the odds for political violence would be next to zero. When you talk about thriving and communities thriving, and you name basically 10 basic human needs, I'll call them even human rights, safety, housing, health, food, water, education, purpose, dignity, democracy, freedom, and justice. In this moment, what really is coming to top of mind as you think about advocating and calling on people, knocking on doors again after the RNC concludes here in Milwaukee?
Things is everything comes back to democracy for us in a lot of ways. If your basic needs aren't being met, if you are unhoused, and it's hard for you to register to vote, and here we are saying, hey, we don't know where you're going to lay your head at the end of the night, but don't forget to vote on Tuesday. If people don't have reliable access and consistent access to childcare, we've seen that those are barriers. And so for us, if you don't have those basic needs met, you can't fully participate in our democracy. It is incredibly difficult to. And so if we want to advocate for some of those issues that people may not always see as issues relating to democracy, we also have to protect the ability and the right to vote in making sure that our democratic processes, such as redistricting, are all fair and are able to include as many people as possible, because then we can have honest conversations about policy on an equal playing field. The playing field is not level right now. Sometimes it feels that, you know, one party is playing chess and another party is playing checkers, and we are not even playing the same game at this point. And so it's hard to have an honest conversation about policy when some of the rules to the game are rigged. You have things like gerrymandering and voter suppression at every angle. And so to level that playing field, yes, we need to make sure that the basic components of democracy and access to democracy in the ballot box are important and are protected. And then that also leads us to have honest conversations about policy from a less unbiased and unbalanced type of way.
Yeah, I think the unbalanced part of that, right, is so critical. I like to call it, one party seems to be playing three-dimensional chess and we're playing tiddlywinks sort of behind the curve. It's always infuriating to me. I'd also like to point out that I have euphemistically noted from time to time that I will feel like we have reached a clear pinnacle in our democratic institutional progression when folks 18 to say 25 vote in equal proportion to retirees, which speaks exactly to the issues that you've noted, Angela. It's hard to get folks engaged about policy ideals or political platforms if they're worried about putting food on the table. And yet in this moment, we know that Joe Biden has helped usher our country through an incredibly dangerous period of time, coming again into office during the peak of COVID, before vaccines were widely available, with the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. My second thought after sobbing for our country was the person who is most gleeful after the assassination attempt on the former president and is likely Vladimir Putin, to continue to watch our democracy destabilize in that way. So turning back to Block's platform, I want to know a little bit about how you're viewing engagement of, critically, Black voters here in Milwaukee. My opinion coming out of 2016 is that there was far too much sort of, I don't know, assignment of responsibility, if you will, when folks had not really, Hillary Clinton had not spent the time trying to speak to Black voters in Milwaukee or in the state of Wisconsin. And we know that white suburban women largely did not show up for Hillary Clinton in that election. How do you position this election? How important do you think Black voters are for Joseph Biden at the head and the top of the Democratic ticket?
I will always say that Black voters are always going to be an incredible voting bloc and so important, especially in a state like Wisconsin. And so when a lot of folks are focused on what Wisconsin will do because it could determine what the rest of the country will do, the only way to win Wisconsin is through Black and brown voters. And that line runs through Milwaukee. And so there are times we feel a lot of pressure, but sometimes we also want to let the folks that we're talking to know the power of their voice. When they feel that no one is listening to them, we can say, you know what, our neighborhoods right here in Milwaukee, we are the ones that could be the difference for the whole country. And that is that's a powerful responsibility to have. And I think a beautiful one to have. And I think for us, it comes down to, again, education. I hate to sound like a broken record, but, you know, letting folks know, and I've had this conversation, I've said it publicly, I think Joe Biden has a little bit of a messaging problem that I think he's right now starting to course correct, and that he's done some great things, but not everybody has felt those the impacts of that. And so when people are like, yeah, but what has Joe Biden done? It's up to, you know, folks like us to say, oh, that construction you see on Holton Street, you also see that there is a sign that it's responsible because of the infrastructure bill. And so being able to connect the dots of some of the things that people may not have known Joe Biden was responsible for, and kind of letting folks know these are the things at play. And also conversely, if people are like, well, how come we still don't have the Justice and Policing and George Floyd Act? Then there's education about why he isn't able to do some of the things that we want him to do. And there's education that comes down to the dysfunction in Congress. So also making sure that people are educated on who to place the right person as well, too. So all of it is making sure that we're trying to build people's civic analysis and civic awareness.
100%. The way that I like to help people see this is like, take your power. Your power is in your vote. And unless you use it, you're sort of, we invite our voice to be ignored, right? It's not okay to just complain that nothing's happening or that you don't perceive that things are happening if you haven't shown up and voted. We have just a couple of minutes left, perhaps a little bit less than that. I've been joined this half hour by Angela Lang, the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Very quickly, Angela, where can people find out more about your organization?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok at Block by Block MKE. And you can visit our website, blockbyblock.org.
Thanks so much, Angela. Real pleasure. Hope to have you back soon. I'm Maggie Dawn. Stay put, everybody. I'm going to be joined by former Illinois Congressman Joel Walsh next here on the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee. It's the Republican National Convention.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Suffice it to say, I have been blown away by the news, but I might actually get blown away here at Civic Media's coverage live from downtown Milwaukee in the Republican National Convention. It's windy up here, folks, but I'll take it. It's keeping me cool. We're hoping that Congressman Joe Walsh does have time to join us this afternoon. But let's take this opportunity to take some callers and have a conversation. Texters and callers, you can reach us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Bob from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir? I cannot hear Bob, so we're going to work on that. Bob, you just hang on there. Let's go to the text lines. We had a texter at the top of the hour, a new texter joining us from WMDX on the 608 regarding Trump's pick of J.D. Vance for the vice presidency. Since the Supreme Court has laid the groundwork for Trump to become king, Trump would view himself as staying in power indefinitely. Trump has used the office of president to advance his own interest and profit. So when I think of a Trump presidency, I think of the Trump family business. So I think it's possible that Trump will nominate one of his family members for the VP slot. That would be the most loyal to him, and it would begin a Trump dynasty. We know that's now not true. Trump nominating J.D. Vance of Ohio, frankly, an incredibly inexperienced elected official. He's only been in office for a couple of years, virtually zero foreign policy expertise. As we looked at the Veep stakes or the Veep Olympics, really Doug Burgum was thought of as the no harm, no foul, safe VP pick. We then had Marco Rubio, which had some challenges because of the fact that he's also from Florida. And then finally, J.D. Vance. Ohio no longer in play. Really, the only upside to J.D. Vance was how MAGA he is, kind of the poster child for these things. If you'd like to join us, have a little conversation this afternoon, hope to have those calls sorted. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jeff from Shorewood texting in from 414 saying, who on the right has called out or condemned political violence? I think that's the moment we're in. It becomes essential for Donald Trump himself to disavow political violence. It can't be one set of rules for Republicans and one set of rules for Democrats. That's the moment we're in. Folks, you may be hearing a bit of the Secret Service Air Patrol right now, hovering above me, a helicopter. Again, the security, if you thought it was tight before, after the absolute despicable act of violence against our former president, security's even tighter now. Another texter cam from Nina saying this, multiple things can be true at the same time. The father who caught a stray bullet at the rally, his daughter can't talk to her dad ever again. This is incredibly sad. I couldn't agree with you more. Let's see if we've got more luck with the phone lines. Bob from Madison, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I sure can, Bob. Go ahead. What do you have to share this afternoon?
Okay. I think everybody's got Biden all wrong on the debate. He had a cold. If you take cold medicine, the experts say over 65, it causes confusion, weakness and drowsiness, exactly what he was showing. And he did much worse in the early part of the debate. He probably took a heavy dose of cold medicine just before going on air, and then it hit him in the first third of the debate, first half hour, and then he got gradually better after that. The symptoms are there, and before and after, he's performed excellently, as far as I can tell. He's been great. Even after the debate, it was great.
Yes, but much improved. Thanks so much, Bob. I think, you know, your point is really well taken about the cold medicine. Hadn't heard that take yet. Thanks so much. That's Bob from Madison. Darren from Fond du Lac, what do you have to say this afternoon? What was your reaction when you first heard the news of the attempted assassination?
Well, it definitely was a black mark on the Republic as far as being democratic and having to have that kind of violence take place. My question is with that being done, I know there's protesting there in Milwaukee, protesting the Republican point of view. Wouldn't it have been better served to just move that protest to a totally different location and get the same news media coverage?
Yeah, great question, Darren. That was really the focus of the lawsuit brought by the coalition to march on the RNC 2024. They wanted access within the hard perimeter. They wanted to be adjacent to the FISERV, as put in the lawsuit, within sight and sound of the RNC delegates themselves. A judge here in the Eastern District of Wisconsin disagreed and said that the balance struck by the city of Milwaukee and the U.S. Secret Service was an appropriate balancing of public safety concerns with First Amendment rights of those protesters. I'm still processing the Trump selection of J.D. Vance as his vice presidential pick and the doubling down on really the MAGA movement. And it bears noting that consistently Joe Biden and Democrats have condemned political violence. And frankly, what J.D. Vance had to say after the assassination attempt of Donald Trump was nothing short of absolutely repugnant. He posted on X, also known as Twitter, this: today is not just some isolated incident. The central premise of the Biden campaign is that Donald Trump is an authoritarian fascist who must be stopped at all costs. That rhetoric led directly to President Trump's attempted assassination. That is horrifying. Let's be very clear here. We can condemn political violence and at the same time not let that silence the condemnation of political violence. Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and the rest of the MAGA movement has, again, called for violence against former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump himself has called for the execution of his political enemies. So let's make no mistake about which party has embraced political violence. It has been the party of MAGA. It has been J.D. Vance. And to call those who criticize political violence the problem seems to be disingenuous at best and downright dangerous to our democracy at worst. Let's go back to the phones. Charles, you are on the road, sir. Please drive carefully. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Definitely, Maggie. So I'll try to get my points off really quick. So I'm keep hearing this, both sides do it. And it's, I'm not sure where they're getting that from. Donald Trump started with the whole birther movement. Then he went from that in 2016 to coming down an escalator talking about Mexicans are racists and killers. He talked about if somebody throws something at my rally, punch them and I'll bail you out. He said the Second Amendment people would take care of Hillary Clinton. And he constantly mocks and laughs at Nancy Pelosi's husband almost being killed by some crazy guy with a hammer. So I'm not sure where.
Yeah, he basically egged him on. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I 100% agreement, Charles. I mean, we need to be able to call things out. And we need to be able to call out and condemn Donald Trump's rhetoric. Again, it's like the gaslighting of America for us to be talking about this as if Democrats have in this post-Trump era, ever embraced political violence. Democrats have been the ones saying that January 6th is an abomination. By the way, so did Mitch McConnell. Somehow we've all forgotten that. It's infuriating. Thanks so much for calling, Charles. Please drive safely, sir. Denny from Fitchburg, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Thanks for taking my call. I am a little bit upset about our judicial system.
Yes, sir.
Finding out that the classified documents was thrown out of court. And that doesn't surprise me too much. I do not understand why the incarceration trial is the last to go, because that, to me, is the major one.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Denny. Donald Trump stole our nation's secrets. He was asked for over a year by the National Archives to give the documents back. He was then served with a couple of subpoenas and told, you have to give these back. His lawyers told him, you have to give the documents back. And then he told two of his lackeys to hide the documents so he didn't have to give them back. They sat around at Mar-a-Lago for any Chinese or Russian spy who could afford a membership or at least get a plus one to an event there could have looked at them. And it's very clear that there were some elimination of American intelligence assets overseas following Trump's exit from the presidency. Judge Aileen Cannon's 93-page decision today is nothing short of frightening. Of course, she was given a permission slip to, frankly, disregard the numerous rulings finding exactly the opposite of what Aileen Cannon found today by Justice Clarence Thomas, who raised a question about the constitutionality of the special prosecutor's office in the immunity case, a case that had nothing to do with the special prosecutor's office, or at least at the Supreme Court, where no one had briefed or argued anything about the special prosecutor's office. And yet, hyper-conflicted, likely sexual harasser Clarence Thomas decided to go there anyways and leave breadcrumbs for the Mensa member, also known as Aileen Cannon, down there in the Southern District of Florida. Now, before we get out of the show today, folks, and Denny, this one will be for you. I will give you a little ray of hope about the classified documents case. It's not much, but we got to hang our hat on what we can hang our hat on these days. Matt from Middleton, what do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Hello. Yeah, I just want to bring up the fact that Hillary Rodham Clinton was talking about this many years ago. The deplorables that she's referring to is actually the white militia groups. These are the Christian white nationalists that for decades didn't vote all that much, but they've got a coalition now, and it's going to lead to minority rule, which is only kept there through violence and intimidation. So we should all be on alert. But how do we get out of this cry wolf situation where you can lay out the threats, and even if it's realistic and very real, too many people dismiss it and just think it's hyperbolic language.
Well, that's exactly where we're at, Matt. I agree. We'll talk more about it. We're going to take a very, very short couple of messages here. Everybody, keep your feedback coming in. Text and phone lines are open, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, special live coverage from downtown Milwaukee of the Republican National Convention. Stay put, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment.
So if you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of them, would you? Seriously. Okay? Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise. I promise. They won't be so much because the courts agree with us, too. What's going on in this country?
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Civic Media's special coverage of the Republican National Convention from downtown Milwaukee. A momentous 3 weeks it has been. I don't think anybody could have predicted where we have ended up. We're taking your calls and texts this half hour, 855-752-4842. I'm just so disturbed at the moment that we're in. Josh Hawley, Senator Hawley, the guy that, you know, put up his fist to the January 6th protesters before they interrupted the peaceful transition of power and engaged in a violent insurrection that cost lives, including the lives of a number of police officers. Last week, Josh Hawley embraced being called a Christian nationalist. I mean, really? Nationalism? Hey! So very, very disturbing. Andre from Minnesota, what do you have to say this afternoon, sir? Andre, you there?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, this guy has been the violence fellow all his damn entire life. It wasn't a Republican. It wasn't a Democrat. He shot Donald Trump. It was Donald J. Trump that caused this to happen to himself. From day one, this guy's been violent. He started that insurrection. He grabbed women by the private parts. He had a baseball bat against Alvin Bragg's head. I mean, it goes on. Kung Fu virus. Some idiot went down in Atlanta, Georgia, shot up an Asian massage parlor, whatever. Some guys went in the Texas and shot up a Walmart because he was saying deplorable things about Hispanic people. So this guy's a violent dude. He's been perpetrating and demonstrating violence his entire life. You know, the whole Taylor, Richard Spencer, Roger Stone, Stephen Miller, they're all crazy. You know, I'm telling you. And here to him, I'll let you go. They think God is Caucasian, and they think dog is man's best friend. So have a good day.
Andre, you got me to chuckle this afternoon. His hair was of lamb's wool. That ain't a white dude. I don't know what Bible they're reading. Carol from Madison texting in on the MDX. Carol was thinking, if the Trump people were to unity, then Donald Trump would have selected Nikki Haley as a vice presidential pick. Even after she dropped out, she was still getting 20% of the vote. But of course, Trump's ego won't let him do that. Well said, Carol. Paul, you're up. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Good afternoon. Thanks for the service. Am I being too overboard here with the Florida judges ruling on Trump and then the Supreme Court? It seems to me we're not that far away from losing the judicial system in this country, or am I going too far with that? Thanks.
Paul, I think not. I mean, when I didn't have time to read all 93 pages, I got through maybe the first 30. Aileen Cannon is a really sort of limited thinker. And even her style of writing is sort of doth protesteth too much. She writes things like, the court carefully considered, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you don't have to say that. Here's a direct quote from the decision. Upon careful study of the foundational challenges raised in the motion, the court is convinced that Special Counsel Smith's prosecution of this action breaches two structural cornerstones of our constitutional scheme, the role of Congress. I mean, she goes on and on and on. I'll just say this. It's very odd for a judge to point out that they carefully examined things. That's sort of presumed when you're a judge. It would be presumed in a good thing that a judge in the Donald Trump stole our super secret spy documents case to, you know, carefully consider arguments. But make no mistake, all of this nonsense coming from Donald Trump and his enablers about weaponizing the legal system or the Justice Department, let me be really clear here. That runs exactly contrary to the core of Aileen Cannon's reasoning. Her opinion is premised on her conclusion that the special counsel is too independent of the attorney general and the president. He's too independent, and therefore he is a principal officer of the United States and requires appointment by the president and confirmation by the Senate. Well, wait a minute. If he's too independent and he's investigating, you know, a former president, isn't that a good thing? Don't we want the special counsel to be independent? No, says Judge Aileen Cannon. She's pro-weaponization of the Justice Department. That's the only way to read that decision. Jean from Eau Claire, you say what this afternoon?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And thank you for the work that you're doing. And thank you guys for being there to cover it. And Aileen Cannon's got to resign. We need to clean house in the judicial system, because this is unbelievable. This is sick, and it's totally, they're attacking our democracy from the inside out, and we all got to get out and vote and fight back through our votes and everything we can do. Thank you very much, and keep up the great work, Maggie. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jean. Again, I'll say it for the second time this afternoon. The only way to save our democracy is through our democracy. And by the way, if I haven't been clear enough, political violence is the absolute antithesis of democracy. Democracy exists as a political system to eliminate political violence. That is its purpose. And at the same time, we can condemn Donald Trump for being one of the largest enablers, promoters of political violence, as well as J.D. Vance and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Josh Hawley. All of these people, enablers of political violence, the political violence that nearly took America's Republican presidential candidate. No voter should be deprived of their vote because the candidate is dead. We're going to take a breath. I'm Maggie Dawn. It's the Civic Media Radio Network special coverage live from downtown Milwaukee of the Republican National Convention. We're going to be bringing on a very special guest next. Erica Payne of the Patriotic Millionaires is going to talk about taxing the rich, finally, which is not something that Donald Trump or the Republican Party is much interested in. Don't go anywhere. News, weather, and sports is next, and I'll be back.
Today is the day American patriots start taking down names and kicking ass.